We're here at Intel. This is John Furrier with Podtech.net with Sean Maloney, the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer at Intel. That's kind of your title, but you're also EVP. The fancy title's EVP. Welcome to this podcast.
Thanks, John.
CES is right around the corner, and 2007 is upon us. Talk about what's happened. We did a podcast at Sundance last year in January. We kicked off Podtech's business with Intel at CES last year. Talk about what's changed in 06 real quick, and what do you see for 2007?
Well, coming at it from a kind of computer industry point of view, 2006 was a huge year for the notebook again, all over the world. Essentially, directionally, the desktop computer is kind of fading away with the exception of gaming. And everybody wants a notebook. Everyone who can afford a notebook wants a notebook. So notebook sales have been growing faster now than cell phone sales for about 4 years, you know. And that was even more significant in 2006. So what happens is you end up with everybody above a certain age essentially wanting a notebook, which means that they're going to be carrying around their own data with them, their own pictures, their own music, their own video. And it will change the way that people access the net and change the way that entertainment's done.
2006 was our year at Podtech. We really, when we did our podcast, we were pre-venture capital funded and then got venture capital. But it was the year of podcasting, year of video podcasting, the year of YouTube, and you know, as Time Magazine calls it, you know, the users are in charge. Talk about that trend and other things that you see happening around this whole new generation, this shift that's happening.
Well, the whole idea behind the microprocessor back in the early 70s was my processor, right? And that was the personal computer. It's mine. And this creeps up on you gradually over a number of years, and sometimes it goes slowly and sometimes it goes quickly. We've all talked about personal video now for a decade or so, and obviously in the last year we had one of those accelerated series of breakthroughs. I think the interesting thing there is that you've got a confluence of two things. Firstly, you've got mass credibility of video downloading. And everyone's been talking about that. But secondly, you've got the arrival of very low-cost, high-def camera devices, because Moore's law means you can just shrink the high-def circuitry into a very, very small space. So the collision of high-def and people uploading, downloading video is going to be very profound and will have a huge impact on the next three CESs or four CESs.
Intel, as a company, is known worldwide. They've changed people's lives over the years. You talked about Moore's law making things smaller. You guys have really made this happen. And talk about where Intel is now and some of the new things, because, you know, Moore's law at the PC, it was all about the PC. Talk about where it is now with Intel and how you're enabling and changing people's lives.
I think 4 years ago, if you'd have spoken to a lot of Intel execs, we would have been worried that there was going to be a reduction in the requirement for processing power. No one's worried about that right now. We have a whole series of segments and the market that basically have got insatiable demands for computing power. They're asking for, you know, please just give us more. On the client side, where you think, well, gee, maybe I don't need that much, it turns out, of course, you do. We've converted over almost 100% on 65 nanometer to Core 2 Duo. If you want to do high-def editing of your own little high-def pictures, which you will want to do over the next 12 months, forget it if you don't have a high-end dual-core Core 2 Duo processor. You need that kind of performance. So I think we're using Moore's law to just keep racing ahead on performance through multi-core.
Talk about the core thing for a second, about the editing. You mentioned editing because, you know, I just showed you my HD camera. Mm-hmm. YouTube is part of the user-generated content. People understand cameras and images. That's easy. But now video, people will be editing. Talk about, you know, that trend. That's not a surprise to Intel. Talk about the computing platform that's required for that. It's doable. It's inexpensive.
I think that once you see a handheld high-def image, if you've got kids or if you're getting married or whatever, you're going to want that image because you're going to want to record your life in that level of quality. And even if you're doing the most basic editing, just sticking in, you know, some headlines and putting some music on the back, you need a Core 2 Duo processor. That's just the reality of it. And you can see the machine grind to a halt if you don't. So high-def video editing is going to be huge in consumer in the next 4 or 5 years.
5-7 years ago, how much would a PC cost to have that kind of processing power? I mean, you know, the productivity is so huge. I mean, you know, over 10, 20, 30,000 for high-end machine?
Yeah, I don't, you know, you'd have had banks of machines, basically, for doing that kind of thing. And so, you know, we're coming out now, obviously, with processors that have got, you know, a billion, enormous numbers of transistors and computing power. No slowdown. That's the way it'll be for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and that's really kind of powering the social media. Talk about the changes you're going to see in the PC, because the PC is becoming more important. Obviously, you were talking about the kind of the speeds you're getting on a notebook. The notebook is the new TV. It's the new entertainment center. It's the new, you know, workhorse for people. You know, what are some of the changes that you've seen in the PC, and what are you going to see this year?
Well, you know, I know I'm going to come across like a PC bigot, probably because I'm a PC bigot, right? But first off, I'd say that at the high end, the PC guys are not that impressed with the current game consoles, right? Not such a dramatic breakthrough. And if you look at the new Core 2 Quad, we feel very comfortable that the gaming experience you'll get on a high-end PC is going to match anything that comes out, really, on the console side. So the PC community is still very optimistic that we can carry on in that
space.
Gaming's
key on the PC.
Gaming's key for the desktop PC. Yeah. And if you sit down and you look at it, the gaming experience you're getting on a quad core, I'm fortunate enough to have one at home, it's astonishing. I can hypnotize my son and all his kids away from any game console they've got. So that's still going on, and I don't see any slowdown in that. When we've got 8 cores, I'm sure we'll use them for gaming. On the notebook space, you've got the growth has been so rapid, that market is kind of splitting out. And I think you will see more and more teenagers and school kids having notebook computers. And so you'll see people pushing down into new price points. And that's where these kids are going to store all of their information. And I think that will fuel the growth in notebooks out through the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, notebooks. I mean, it's like amazing. I think about my life without a notebook would be crazy. I also have a handheld mobile device. I know you're real passionate about mobility because you ran the group here at Intel for years. But mobility is definitely not going away. Is there a gap between the notebook and the mobility? Obviously, there is from a functionality standpoint. But users are looking at both devices now. Talk about mobility and how it plays in that world.
Everybody needs voice. So I think everybody has a cell phone. Most of the growth in the cell phone business now is in low-income emerging markets. And in many countries in the world, particularly in Europe, you've already got 110, 115% penetration rates, right? There's not really a heck of a lot of growth there. So the next opportunity is in giving portable web access. And that is, you know, a phenomenal opportunity. So are you going to give that best over a shrunk PC, or are you going to give that best over a grown-up phone? And being the resident PC bigot, I happen to believe you're going to give it best over a shrunk PC because you're going to get a consistent software issue. The issue in that device is going to come down to, do all the Flash plugins that you have on your beautiful website, do all of those things work perfectly? And they're more likely to work if you've got a standardized architecture like a PC and you shrink it down into a very small space.
Well, I think people will say it's a no-brainer. Obviously, I want to have clips on my handheld. I think that'd be more, you know, but it's just not there yet. The PC's got so much power. I mean, a 3-minute video on a handheld is difficult, is it? I mean, did you see that gap closing faster or slower over the next couple of years on mobility?
I think the issue for the handheld is software, because the handheld market is so fragmented, there isn't a stable software base to anybody to write towards. The PC has a much more consistent software interface. And so if you're a web developer, you've got a much bigger target, which is why all that stuff's been developed towards that architecture, the PC architecture. And I think over the next 2-3 years, that will just get shrunk into smaller and smaller devices. You could imagine putting a PC architecture into tiny, tiny devices so that you get a consistent web experience. And that will impact the home as well.
You guys are in a lot of areas that we like at PodTech and other people: media, home, mobility, web, enterprise. Talk about the entertainment and the media. More media is coming on. You got plasma screens at home. You have PCs, notebooks for gaming, and the notebooks and the TV screens changing. It's the PC. My daughters are watching, you know, their stuff on the net now. What is the home going to look like? Year and next year?
Last CES, we stood up and announced Vive, which was our platform for home, not so much home server, but a a PC that was optimized for moving content around the home and displaying it on TVs. And there was a fair amount of skepticism. This year, I think you're going to see a lot of people displaying devices to do that and showing devices to do that, because people do want to show their content around the home. I mean, at Christmas time, I was with, you know, extended family, and there are tons of kids who are downloading stuff off the web, and they kept walking up to the TV trying to figure out how they could show stuff on the TV. I think that is just going to become more and more common. And it's very complex, and the software issues are very profound, and I think the industry is going to spend 2 or 3 years tangling with that.
I mean, right now it's like local area networking, it's SneakerNet. Some of these new plasmas have USB ports you plug in, disk drive, and, you know, maybe show some pictures, right? I mean, there's no real Wi-Fi, and, you know, TiVo is going to have some Wi-Fi. So, you know, is it in what stage of evolution in your mind, if you had to peg the connected home, how far away are we from having that fully deployed in your mind?
If you want to go back and look in history, my sense is, you know, if you compare it to the local area network, which you were doing, we're right now kind of beyond the Ethernet phase, in that we do have global protocols, particularly with Wi-Fi. So a lot of the underlying work has been done. The difficulty now is the software, because of all the incompatibility and all the transcoding and all of that stuff. So I think that over the next year, you're going to get enthusiasts and geeks are going to be carrying on being so frustrated with not being able to get stuff off the PC onto the TV, they're going to start fixing it. And then mass market, you know, following on from that.
So I like how you kind of bring history in, because you can learn a lot from history. So if the PC created a software boom, which it did, mm-hmm. are you saying then that Intel's going to see a software boom again? I mean, because that's what you were saying, software is a challenge.
I mean, there is a software boom already, right? I don't think there's been any slowdown. And what we're seeing now is people grappling with how do you take advantage of dual core and quad core and so on. The software industry is saying, gee, if I've got a processor that can handle, you know, 8 threads or more, what can I do with it? And the answer, of course, is you're going to be able to do some wickedly good things, particularly for consumer electronics like video.
Intel's been a leader in social media. You guys have been doing a lot of stuff on the net. I mean, obviously, you do a lot of advertising traditionally as a business and big company. But you've been very aggressive in these new areas. Vive was exploring new ground in entertainment. You've done some social media stuff with blogging and video blogging, et cetera. How do you see social media evolving? You know, obviously, you've got the YouTube generation. It's part of people's lives. You've got companies like Facebook out there that gets the college crowd. And the world's changing. I mean, how do you view that?
Well, most of the predictions that were made in the 97-98 time have obviously all happened, right? I think video was probably the last of the predictions, and that's happened over the last 18 months. And I guess you got to say, okay, we've used up all the predictions from the internet boom. You know, what's the next thing? And I think we will sit back and watch the ad revenues toggle over once again in the next 18 to 24 months. And it's going to be very difficult for the conventional media to handle that. Very, very difficult. If you look at currently the companies that are trying to get out of print, who are trying to sell off their assets, they're facing almost no buyers in certain areas. Mm. I think you'd have to say that may well be moving into some of, you know, the 1960s and 70s industries as well. I think some of the commercial aspects of the next 3 years are going to be very challenging for people.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. Final question, media. More and more media is coming out. You talk about gaming. I mean, I watch a lot of my kids and young people and the new generation. Media is a big part of life. More media is coming onto the net in more forms. People are gaming, they're creating media. Media is happening, not just text with bloggers, but, you know, you got audio, you got video coming in, you got user-generated content, you got new professionals coming in. There's a massive media onboarding going on from all different pictures, video, everything. What are the challenges around the network in general? Because you guys touch a lot of areas for making media flow.
The big change in media, of course, as was predicted again 10 years ago, the big change in media is personal-generated media. And it's the media that you're going to produce as a result of this, where you don't have to run back to a studio and spend days and days on it, but you do it immediately. That's the big change. So from our point of view, having a lot of local processing power to do that kind of stuff is important. Having synchronous networks like WiMAX, where you can do upload as well as download, is going to be really, really important. and having permanent connectivity through the air is going to be very, very important. We are big believers in pure IP networks, pure wireless IP networks, and we would like to see Wi-Fi through WiMAX expanded out to cover all the major metro areas in the next 3 years, so you've got fully synchronous upload, download, permanently available networks for these devices. And the media issue that will dominate in all of that, in my view, is personal generated media.
Actually, one more final question, because CES is coming up. What do you think CES is going to look like this year? Last year was big. I mean, you had, it looked like not only consumer electronics, but yet the computer industry was there. I mean, you guys were there, Google was there, and it's now a computer show. It's consumer electronics is everywhere. It was big. What do you think it's going to be like this year? What are the key themes that you see?
I don't know. I mean, last year, if you walked around CES, it was basically a flat panel show, and the computer companies talking about content. I'll get in there on Monday night, and I'll find out. My sense is it probably won't be a lot different to last year, although I think you will see people tackling more crossover devices that try and shift content from the computer industry over into the TV side.
So more application-oriented stuff.
More products that move content from one device to another to another. Everybody is trying to monetize their content in different kinds of devices, and I think that will continue to be a significant trend.
As the chief sales and marketing guru at Intel, what are we going to see from Intel this year?
Well, our conversion to 65 nanometer, putting it in a chip head way, is pretty much done. And so you're going to see mass availability of Core 2 Duo products. That means phenomenal performance and the beginnings of quad core in the first 6 months of this year. And I think that 2007 will be remembered for a year when there was incredible innovation in mobile computing, notebook computing. That will be the dominant thing again this year.
Notebooks are booming. Gaming, user-generated content, software on mobile devices. Sean Maloney, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, thank you very much for the podcast.
Thank you, John.